For the Bible study today, I want to do address the another question. I want to give a little preface into this question. When I was a child, my parents attended the Evangelical United Brethren Church. It's a relatively small denomination of mostly German heritage whose roots go back to the late 1700s. The denomination was commonly referred to as EUB, and those who attended that church were EUBers. And I enjoyed the one-week teen summer camps, and I played on the church softball team as a teenager, competing against other local Protestant churches. The EUB church practiced infant baptism, in which the pastor would sprinkle new babies with a few drops of water. And then, as a child reached the age of 13, weekly catechism classes were held to teach the denomination's beliefs. And then in May of each year, a new graduation class from catechism was held. It was a big ceremony, and all the participants wore white gowns and had a pinned flower on their gown, and formal pictures were taken, and each student in the ceremony was given a Bible. The church gave me an RSV, Revised Standard Version Bible. My grandmother didn't think too much of that, so she gave me a King James Version Bible as a present, and I still have them both. Well, when a student graduated from catechism, they then were expected to participate in the congregation celebration of what they call the Lord's Supper. And so once per month, the congregation then held its Lord's Supper ceremony, which they also call communion. And it was held during their Sunday morning church service. Well, during this communion ceremony, members of the congregation would come to the railing in the front of the meeting hall. They called it a sanctuary, and kneel before the railing. And the railing was the entire width of the church, and it was an opening, a collapsible opening in the middle to allow the entrance for the minister and the choir and so forth. Well, the minister would go down the rail, and he would quietly then, with a plate, the plate would have little puffy little leavened wafers about the size of a 50-cent piece. And each person would take this little wafer, and they would put it in their mouth. It would melt very quickly. And then soon after, a tiny tray with thimbles of grape juice were presented. When a row of people kneeling at the rail had consumed the puffy wafers and the grape juice, then they returned to their seats in the pews, and the ushers brought up a next row and the next row and the next row. The ceremony called communion took place then one Sunday each month. There were about 300 people in the congregation, and well, the ceremony took a while to perform, and so it was imprinted as a youngster on my memory. Incidentally, then, this week I was listening to the radio on my commute, and I heard a commentator mention that Roman Catholics, of necessity, had to meet in person for them to take this communion. They weren't allowed to touch the puffy wafer. The priest had to put it directly onto their tongues. So, and this is a Roman Catholic sacrament that cannot be done by oneself remotely or via webcast. According to pewresearch.org, and I'm going to quote them, the church, meaning the Roman Catholic Church, recommends that Catholics receive communion every time they attend Mass, which is for every one of their meetings. And about 4 in 10 Catholics say that they do. Overall, 77% of Catholics report taking communion at least some of the time when they attend Mass, and 17% say they never do. So they have it where only the priest touches this particular little wafer. Well, in 1968, the more conservative German roots EUB church that I grew up with, it merged with the English roots Methodist church and became known as a United Methodist Church. And to my knowledge, the once per month communion on what they called Lord's Supper remained the same. And as do many other denominations, they based the frequency of their communion service based on 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. So let's take a look at that. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. Of course, they're referring to the Passover service that we read about in the Gospels. We can read about it in Luke 22. And Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 6, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and as often as you do, as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So this brings up then the Bible study question for this inquiry. How often can you do this? Some say as often as you want, and it's a reminder of the new covenant that Jesus Christ made, and it's okay to remind him of it. Well, to answer that, let's take a look at what the Bible says about how often should we eat the bread and drink of this cup. Well, I'm going to borrow heavily from the Bible study on UCG.org. The expression the Lord's Supper is found only once in the New Testament. It appears in 1 Corinthians 11:20, just a few verses back, where Paul was discussing the observance of the New Testament Passover. Jesus Christ specifically mentioned this observance as the Passover in Luke 22, verses 8 and 11 and 15. He, meaning Christ, observed it with the new symbols of the bread and the wine on the date specified in Leviticus 23. And that annual observance should be kept on the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. The Passover is observed as a memorial to Christ's death. We read that in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, and again in 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 27. The Passover just takes place once a year. This is certainly the custom of memorial observances described in the Bible. It's a typical pattern of secular memorial observances. So as a youth, Jesus observed the Passover annually with his family, and at the specified time, we read that in Luke 2 and verse 41. Jesus Christ continued the yearly practice with his disciples, Luke 22 again, verses 7 through 15. And then after his death and resurrection, the early church continued to observe the annual festivals listed in Leviticus 23. For example, Luke records that Jesus' followers met to observe the Feast of Pentecost. In Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Well, the scripture doesn't give any hint of the early church adding or changing the dates that God appointed for observing his festivals. The phrase in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, it doesn't mean at any time members might arbitrarily choose to partake of the symbols. It means when they actually did partake of them as part of the Passover ceremony, which, of course, Passover occurs once a year. Paul was simply pointing out that by observing the New Testament Passover on the year, on the appropriate day, that the members were in fact proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Well, the Bible specifies that the Passover ceremony should be observed annually. And it is a memorial of Christ's death. It should be observed once per year at the specified time rather than whenever one chooses. So following the original disciples' example, then we observe the Passover at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. And then, of course, we don't change it because of what we read in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. In Deuteronomy 4, 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Then I'd like to go to 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm going to read this in the English Standard Version. I think it's a little more clear. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, as a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So this critical phrase, rightly handling the word of truth, is really incumbent upon each one of us. So according to the Bible, we observe the New Testament Passover on the 14th day of Abib, which happens to be on March 27th of the 2021 Roman calendar. Well, because the biblical day begins at sunset, then we keep the New Testament Passover memorial of Christ's death at sunset on the evening of March 26th at the beginning of the day of Passover. I look forward to seeing all baptized members gathered together then for the memorial on that evening.